That we've had has been a blessing and a challenge to your hearts. I was just thinking, the Lord has placed us here for a specific reason. We're here in Maquonago, and this area needs to get reached with the gospel just as much as Africa or Asia or Europe or any other place. And so let's be zealous in the work that the Lord and the place that the Lord has put us. And there's plenty of people to win to Christ, so we all have plenty to do. And I trust that God will stir our hearts. My heart has been challenged. I trust yours has been. And we have a great cause to live for and a great purpose. So I trust that that will be our focus for our lives. Mark chapter 13 is our text. And we'll look at that in just a moment. The famous story has been given many times of the mother who made a fresh batch of cookies and put them in the cookie jar. And told her boy or boys not to eat them. And she had to run on an errand. And she unexpectedly came back. And what was happened? The boy's hand was in the cookie jar. I see some smiles on faces. That must mean that others have experienced similar situations. I'm sure we can all relate in a way to that story. It's kind of a interesting, funny story. But our text tonight kind of, in a way, is a picture of that, and we're going to look at that. I'm sure we've all had experiences where we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing. And the boss or the mom and dad, we saw them or heard them coming back, and we quickly ran and got busy doing what we were supposed to be doing. And in a way, when we see that, when that happens, there's an attitude of sorrow or disappointment because we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing. But the opposite is true when we are busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. And mom or dad or the boss comes back, we're excited about their coming. We're expecting, we have joy and satisfaction for them returning because we've been doing what we are supposed to be doing. Well, Jesus Christ, before he went back to heaven, left us a command. He gave his disciples a command that for us even here today, a great command to obey. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the command that Jesus Christ left us with. And this ought to be the foundation of our lives. That command that Jesus Christ has given to us ought to be the foundation that our life is built upon. Everything revolves around that work that God has given to us. The question is, will we be ready when Christ comes back? Will there be an attitude of shame, disappointment, or an attitude or enthusiasm of joy and rejoicing when Jesus Christ comes back? Look at with me at Mark chapter 13, and this really is the text theme verse for our conference. But Mark chapter 13, look with me at verse 32. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded them and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." Our title tonight of the message is, "Lest He Find Us Sleeping." Lest He Find Us Sleeping. It would be tragic if when Jesus comes back, we are asleep. We're not busy doing what He has called us to do. If we are not obeying His command to preach the gospel to every creature. Well, how can we be prepared lest He find us sleeping? Well, first of all, tonight I want us to, we need to allow Christ's coming to be a compelling motivation to be obedient to our Lord's command. The reality that Christ could come back at any moment ought to be motivating to us to be obedient to His command. Oh, we've all had that, our hearts sink when we saw the boss or a parent coming when we weren't doing what we were supposed to do. And there's kind of that shame there. Well, think of when Jesus comes back and we aren't busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. How are we going to feel? What are we going to think when that happens? And we need this reality of Christ coming to be a compelling motivation, to stir us, to invigorate us in this matter of being obedient to that command that Jesus Christ left with us. Well, it's certain that Christ is coming back. But we see the uncertainty of when Christ will come. We see that in our text. Look at verse 35 with me. He says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh." Okay, He's coming for sure. It's certain that He's coming. But we know not when He's coming. So the reality that He is coming ought to stir us, motivate us, to be obedient to our Lord's command. But there's an uncertainty about when He's coming. We don't know how much time we have left to win the lost, to win souls. We don't know how much time we have to accomplish this commission that He has given to us. It says we know not when He is coming. So the point here is we need to be ready. He says, "Watch ye therefore." Don't be sleeping. Don't be negligent. He says, be zealous, be watching, be on the look for His coming and be busy doing what He has called us to do. So there's the uncertainty of when Christ will come. We have confidence He is coming, but it's unknown when He is going to come. And that His coming ought to motivate us to be obedient to the command that He has given to us. There's also, we see in our text here, the necessity of our readiness. The necessity of our readiness. Look again at verse 35. He says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." Oh, we don't need, He doesn't want us to be caught off guard. He wants us to be prepared and ready for His coming. I wonder tonight, are you ready for Christ's coming? As we think of the command that He has given to us of winning the lost, of preaching the gospel to every creature, are we ready for His coming? Would we be broken, disappointed if He were to come back right now? Christ's coming ought to compel us and motivate us to be obedient to our Lord's command. He says, "Watch ye therefore." And verse 34, "And to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch," to be on guard. He says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when He cometh." Are we ready tonight for the Lord to come back? Have we been faithful? Have we been obedient to the command that He has given to us? Well, how can we be ready? Well, how can that necessity of our readiness be shown? We can be faithfully praying for missionaries, our missionaries. I've been, my burden for the missionaries has been stirred through this conference as we've interacted with them or had them here. Just about the needs of these other countries. They're very real. If you've ever traveled before, it just boggles your mind how many people there are in this world that need the gospel. And we can be faithfully praying for our missionaries that God would work. In a way, we're having a part in the work there by us praying for them. And that's important. We ought not to neglect that. We ought not to forget our responsibility to be praying for them. That aspect of faithfully giving to the work of missions. We have a great responsibility to And that's a way we can have a part in reaching and fulfilling the Great Commission by giving towards missionaries. We can also be prepared for His coming by faithfully being a witness. By faithfully being a witness. You know what? If we're not being a witness, if we're not involved in opening our mouths and being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then we aren't going to be ready for His coming. You know, it doesn't take a person to have gone through Bible college or great training to be a soul winner, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. All it is simply opening our mouth and telling about Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And everyone, every Christian can have a part in that and ought to. We can also have a part by being ready, by actively having a part in reaching the world with the gospel. You know, is your vision, your burden just for right here? Well, I trust that in a way the main focus is right here. But you know what? There's a whole world that needs to be reached. And our vision needs to go beyond just right here into how can we reach the world with the gospel. There is a great need for missionaries. Jesus said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. We need a new batch of young people and adults that are willing to take the gospel into the world. And we need more laborers in the harvest field. And that's a way that you can have a part in being ready for the Lord's coming. Are you ready tonight if the Lord were to come back? Are you zealous in this work of winning souls? Or would He find us sleeping? So first of all, here tonight, allow Christ's coming to be a compelling motivation to be obedient to our Lord's command. And then secondly, I want us to note, we need to desire Christ's heart for the lost. Turn with me to a familiar passage in Matthew chapter 9. It's good for us to be reminded and refreshed about this truth here in Matthew chapter 9. We need Christ's heart for the lost. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." We see here Christ's heart for the lost. He had compassion. He was moved with compassion on them. He saw the lost in their need. Have you ever stopped and looked at the need the lost were in? Just recently I was interacting with an unsaved person and my heart was just stirred with the emptiness of his soul. He was so caught up with, you know, like for him, drinking and stuff was just the common thing. And it was like something he greatly looked forward to. Take away the cares of earth in this life. And I just, after interacting with him a little bit and hearing his language and what he's living for, what consumes his life, I just began to realize how empty this man is. And I've seen it more and more. I just realized the emptiness of these people's lives without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the hope of salvation. And Jesus Christ, He had compassion on these people. He saw them in their need. You know, do you look at your coworkers? How do you look at your neighbors? You know, on the outside or from at certain points, they may look like they're just having a wonderful life. But do you ever see these people in their need and have compassion on them? Jesus, He was willing to do something about the need. It's not good enough to just see it. Compassion is doing something about it. And tonight, we need to get busy reaching the lost. And I'm thankful for a church that is very burdened for that. But no doubt, each of us could increase in our zeal and our passion for the lost. Leonard Ravenhill said, "Could a minister or a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion with the world around you damned? How do you view the lost? Do you see them in their need? In need of Jesus Christ. Turn over to John chapter 4. And here we have another account of Jesus interacting with an unsaved person. The woman at the well. And here we see more insight to the heart of Christ for the lost. He had compassion for them. But he also cared for every soul. You know, sometimes it's easy to, I don't want to mess with that kind of person. They're kind of scary. Or think of the things they're involved in or things like that. No, Jesus, he was concerned about every soul. And we ought to be gripped with that everywhere we go, thinking about that person's soul. Can we go through the store? Can we go through town? Can we go through a busy place and not think about the souls of these people? In John chapter 4, look at verse 7. Jesus is sitting here at the well, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Just note Jesus' concern and compassion for this one lady. You know, he wasn't so much seeking for that opportunity to preach in front of the whole city. Here he was showing concern for one individual. And that reminds us of that verse in Scripture that says Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus was concerned about every soul. You know what? Are we willing are there certain individuals we don't care about or we aren't willing to go out of our way to speak to? If we were to continue on, we would see that this lady wasn't the most likable person. She had been involved in a lot of sin, but so have all of us. And we need Jesus to rescue us. And Jesus here cared about this lady's soul. We also see from this passage, Christ's heart, that he took time to minister. You know, do we take time to meet the needs of other people? Do we get so consumed with life and everything else that we don't take time to minister, to reach out to people, to win the lost, to spend time with them, to show them the love of Christ? Here, Jesus put the spiritual needs of others before his physical needs. Look at verse 5 in John chapter 4. It says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And from the rest of the passage, we see that Jesus was first concerned about her spiritual need. Even though he was thirsty and weary from traveling, he wanted to meet the spiritual needs of this lady. Jesus was willing to take the time to minister. You know what? How is Jesus going to find our church when he comes back? Asleep? Or are we going to be zealous in it, fully involved in preaching the gospel to every creature? You know, maybe he'll find some individuals active and involved. But what about you tonight? How about your life? Is it consumed with the gospel? Amy Carmichael said, oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for the love that loves unto death. Oh, for the fire that burns. Oh, for the pure prayer power that prevails. that pours itself out for the lost. Victorious prayer in the conqueror's name. Do we have that kind of passion and zeal for the lost? You know, Christ is coming back. How is He going to find us? Are we going to be asleep? Are we going to be negligent of the command that He has given to us? I trust that tonight we will be stirred and our zeal for the souls of men will be renewed, and that we would see God use us. As we think of the upcoming year, we've been challenged with way before in regards to seeing God use us to bring a soul to Christ in that year. But you know what? Take it seriously. God, this is something that's dear to the heart of God. And if you start seeking after souls and seeking to win them, God will provide them. He will provide those that are ready to hear if we are faithful in giving out the gospel. And as we think of a new year, maybe God would burden your heart to seek after that soul. Think of if each of us were able to win a soul this next year, this place would be full. God is able to do it. There's plenty of souls around us. We need to be burdened. We need to be, our passion for souls needs to be rekindled here tonight. I wonder, are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready for Him to come back? Our text there says, in Mark chapter 13, just turn back there real quick. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Friend, what is it in your life that is hindering you from being a witness? That's hindering you from being effective in winning souls to Jesus? You know, God desires to use each one of us. We can be encouraged with that tonight. There's nobody here that, can't be used by God. No, if we deal and are right with God, deal with sin right with God, God can use us and use every one of us. And I trust that our hearts tonight will be stirred and rekindled and have a greater passion for souls. Because Jesus is coming back. And I trust that as a church, as individuals, we will be ready for His return, lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. Let's pray. Lord, would You use this truth here tonight, these brief moments that we've had, Lord, would You stir the hearts of each person here? Lord, we need Your Spirit to awaken and quicken us. God, would You just impress upon us the great need of the souls? Would we see them in their need, perishing, Lord, without a shepherd, without someone to tell them? Oh God, give us a heart and a compassion for them that stirs us to open our mouth and to share the gospel, to share the love of Christ with them. Oh God, would You reveal to us whatever it is that may hinder You, that may be hindering Your blessing and keeping us from being effective in winning souls, whether it's sin or some kind of wrong relationship with another person, a bitterness, anger, hatred, Lord. Whatever it is, would You help us tonight to deal with those things so that we can be effective in winning the lost? And, oh God, I pray that the reality of Your coming at any moment would stir and motivate us to be ready and prepared and busy doing the work that You've given us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that You would use this truth in our lives, and may our church be changed as a result. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. Pastor John.